Hey, architecture firm owners and emerging leaders. Get ready for unparalleled insight into the development of a world-class architecture firm and a worldwide organization driving the digital transformation of the design and construction industry. With Build Smart, the podcast that's changing how our profession operates. We share the incredible stories behind innovation in the building industry with my friend and co-host, Patrick McLamey, FAIA, former CEO of the international architecture firm, HOK.
You know, Yamasaki's office or firm lasted during his lifetime. And when he passed away, I think that was the end of the Yamasaki office. Helmuth did not want that. He wanted a firm that would live out and grow beyond the founders.
In season one, discover the untold stories behind HOK's meteoric rise from 150 employees in St. Louis to a powerhouse with over 1,900 staff members and 27 offices worldwide.
You know, they weren't as polite as the Kojima people. That was just boom. And anytime you have a creditor, whether it's Kojima or the bank, that wants their money, unless you can raise money someplace else, you are out of business.
Bankrupt.
Bankrupt.
And hold on tight for season two, where Patrick takes us on a new adventure as chairman of Building Smart International, shaping the future of digital transformation in the design, construction, and operation of built assets.
Ian Howell, Ken Harold, and I, Ken was my technical representative from HOK. The three of us took a tour of Europe of 5 cities in 5 days. Very busy time.
Simply follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Smart now and uncover lessons that will transform you and your architecture firm. Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, Episode 17. Welcome to this episode of the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and finally live the life of your dreams. In this episode, I'll be talking about my Entrepreneur Architect Manifesto. I launched the Entrepreneur Architect blog back in 2007 as a personal project. It was intended to sort of record my thoughts and my ideas about business and architecture and to organize all the resources and the links that I had about business and the profession of architecture. It was sort of just a personal project, a hobby of mine, sort of expanded my passion on the business of architecture. About a year ago, December 12, 2012, I announced the relaunch of Entrepreneur Architect as an online resource for sole proprietors, students, and small firms. And that's what it is today. And I also introduced this podcast to the world on that date, 12-12-12, as my 12-12-12 project. That first introduction episode is still one of my favorites to this day, and it's the inspiration for all my weekly solo episodes that I'm creating today. And so if you haven't listened to that first introduction episode, I encourage you to do so. I really like it. It tells you a lot about why I decided to create Entrepreneur Architect. It tells you a lot about who I am and where I've come from. Share some stories about my childhood and some of the things that get me going. So I encourage you to go check that out. I'll put a link on it in the show notes for this episode at entrearchitect.com/episode17. That's this episode is episode 17. In order to share my thoughts on what it means to be an entrepreneur architect, I published my Entrepreneur Architect Manifesto about 1 year ago in February 2013. My manifesto is a continuously evolving living document that describes 11 issues that I believe need to be addressed in the profession. It's my call to action to every entrepreneur architect who wants to become an influential force and make the changes required to save our profession. In a little bit, I'm going to share the Entrepreneur Architect Manifesto right here on the podcast in audio format. If you're interested, you can download a free copy of the manifesto by signing up for my free weekly newsletter, The Entrepreneur Architect Report. Each week, I write a letter to the entrepreneur architect community, sharing my thoughts for the week. And it's much less formal than the blog. I share stories, personal anecdotes, tips, resources, ideas about my firm. I talk about my family. It's a really fun letter. And of all the channels that I share information about business and architecture, I'd say that the newsletter gets the most response out of all of them. Each week, I receive dozens of emails responding to what I share there. If you're interested in subscribing to the newsletter and downloading a copy of the Entrepreneur Architect Manifesto, go to entrearchitect.com/newsletter and you can sign up there. I hope you had an opportunity to listen to last week's episode where I talk about embracing your personal evolution. It's a solo episode just like this one where I talk about how as we move through different seasons in our lives, our priorities change and the things that maybe were important to us as architecture students or as young emerging professionals may not be so important as we grow and our lives evolve. It's the sort of topic that I love to explore. If you haven't yet listened, I encourage you to go check it out. I think you'll like it. This week's blog post article was written specifically for you architecture students out there. It's my ultimate guide to landing your first job in architecture. And although I wrote it in direct response to several conversations I had with students in Chicago at AIAS Forum this past December, where I was invited to speak, it hit a nerve with seasoned professionals as well. I got many, many comments throughout the internet. I share these posts all over the internet on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and on the blog in the comments, and I got a great, great response. So I encourage you to go check those comments out on the blog and on Facebook and LinkedIn at the LinkedIn Entrepreneur Architect Group. The post is a great resource for any architect, student, or licensed pro looking for a job. And I'll include a link to that post in the show notes as well at entrearchitect.com/episode17. So let's get into the manifesto. When I relaunched Entrepreneur Architect as a resource for architects, I wanted to create a document to explain why I was doing what I was doing here and to encourage others to join my mission to become an influential force in the profession. We're entrepreneur architects. We want to make a difference. We want to make changes in the profession, and we're not going to stand around and wait for somebody else to do it for us. We're taking matters in our own hands. We're making the changes needed to become successful architects, financially, professionally, as well as personally. We're collaborating, we're sharing, we're integrating our firms with our families, and we're building lives that matter with purpose and passion. We are entrepreneur architects. So without further delay, I present to you in audio format, the Entrepreneur Architect Manifesto. The Entrepreneur Architect Manifesto, February 2013. I am Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. In architecture school, we each had a professor who told us that architecture should be practiced for the art and the art alone. If you want to go make some money, they said, quit now, take a walk across campus, and enroll in business school. Some took that advice, left the profession, and today are earning a pretty nice, comfortable salary in corporate America. Others heeded that warning, believed it, and carried on the long-standing tradition of starving artists. I believe there's another way. We can be true to our art and still be compensated for what we do. In fact, we should be compensated well for what we do. We contribute to society with passion, skill, and intellect. We bring art to this world like no other profession and should be rewarded financially for doing so. There's a new generation of architects, beacons of light emerging from the defeatist mentality of the last few decades, architects who want to change the world and be profitable doing it, We are Entrepreneur Architects. Entrepreneur Architects are pushing the boundaries of traditional practice and taking it to new heights. Others are using technology to offer new and improved services, delivery methods, and business models. Many more are supplementing their work as architects with personal passions such as writing, speaking, teaching, podcasting. Architects are offering products such as equipment, lighting, plumbing, furniture, accessories, have launched successful retail ventures. The architect is once again emerging as a leader. Master Builders, architect-led design build services are recovering from near extinction and offering services to high-end as well as mass market clients. Home plans are being designed by architects and offered as an alternative to the mass-produced builder market. Advocates for good design have built very profitable businesses around evangelism for their cause. The renewed imperative for green architecture is creating an entirely new market ready to be led by architects. Niche firms specializing in sustainable architecture and prefabricated homes have emerged to serve the new market demands. Architect developers have eliminated the client and have designed, funded, and built their own projects, discovering a formula for financial success and more control over their own art. Society is looking to architects to solve global problems. We have an opportunity to use our problem-solving skills to alter the future of civilization and make money doing it. The world will benefit more as architects begin to think and act like entrepreneurs. Entrepreneur architects have a strong belief in the opportunities we pursue and are willing to take substantially high levels of personal, professional, and financial risk to pursue that opportunity. With high risk comes substantial reward for these architects, their employees, and for society as a whole. We are at a crossroad, a transition from the way it was to the way it will be. There is much work to do, and the work has already begun. I believe we need to focus on profit before art. I hear it every day from architects saying that the money doesn't matter. We should do it for the love of the profession, for the art of architecture. Yes, we must do it for the love of the profession and for the art, but we should be rewarded commensurate with what we bring to the world. We bring beauty and function and design and comfort and consistency and warmth and convenience. We do that. Architects do that. No other profession can do that. Each time we board an airplane, we are reminded of the procedures in case of an emergency. We're told that if the cabin loses pressure, oxygen masks will drop from above. We are told to first care for ourselves before assisting other passengers. Why is that? We must care for ourselves first because if we're unconscious or incapable, we can be no help to our passengers. In a similar way, if we don't first care for our businesses before we care for our art, we will not be around to create our art. We must have healthy, profitable businesses in order to continue our mission of making the world a more beautiful, more functional place. I believe we need to talk more about money and fees. Twice within the last 40 years, the American Institute of Architects was accused of violating federal antitrust laws. These suits have done irreparable damage to our profession. As required by each settlement, the AIA signed a decree limiting the discussion on the topic of pricing or competition among architects. Further, AIA General Counsel developed official documents identifying the do's and don'ts when discussing fees in any manner. With clear intent to protect the organization, these documents essentially eliminate any discussion whatsoever regarding fees. The fear of discussing money and fees among architects is so deeply rooted that few architects now understand the importance of financial management. Architects enter the profession with no concept of our value or how much we should charge for our services. Architects must educate themselves almost in secrecy about money and the importance of profit for a healthy business. A better understanding of architectural fee structures and the value of our services are essential to a stronger profession. I believe we need to talk more about marketing and public relations. The "if you build it, they will come" mentality is flawed and a recipe for failure. Architects have been taught that advertising and self-promotion are bad and beneath us. This flawed logic demands that we focus on our art, design great works of architecture, and success will find us. Too many architects follow this path to financial failure. With an economy in constant flux and markets changing at incredible rates, successful firms will be the ones that know how to differentiate themselves from their competitors. The proper use of marketing will build stronger businesses and allow architects to pursue their passion for architecture. The most prominent architects do not become so by designing remarkable works of art. They do so by designing remarkable works of art and then systematically presenting them to the world through marketing. I believe we need to better communicate the true value of architects and architecture. Capital A architects and capital A architecture, they're honored in this society, but the architect, unfortunately, is not. There's a mythical persona of the architect fed to the masses by Hollywood and novels. Architects must clarify our mission and our purpose. We must demand more respect. We must understand and respect the greatness we as a profession bring to this world. We deserve the honor and respect and must learn to better communicate our value to society. I believe we need to consider paths alternative to traditional practice. The talents and skills we possess as architects afford us opportunities beyond traditional practice. Architects are devisers, makers, creators of anything. The practice and process of what we create, whether buildings or businesses or organizations, objects or inventions, make us architects. We will be architects whether we're designing a building or creating solutions to problems for global organizations. We must reach deep down and discover the foundations of our passions for architecture. What has drawn us to this profession? Why do we practice this art? These passions can be expanded beyond buildings and structures to a limitless world of opportunity. I believe we need to explore alternative business models. For generations, the traditional architecture firm where clients hire architects to design buildings has been the chosen business model for architects. What other ways can we use our talents and skills to provide our services to people who need them? The architect as developer and the architect-led design-build models allow architects to have more control over their art and earn an appropriate monetary reward for their contribution to society. Distributed corporations, where two or more individual firms join forces to incorporate as a new entity, allow smaller firms to expand their base and compete on an equal playing field with larger corporate firms. With the understanding that we need to explore alternative paths, we must also consider alternative business models. We should look to other professions and innovative business sectors for ways that we can provide our products and services. I believe we need to explore alternative delivery methods for our art. The design, bid, build, delivery method has its place, but it's not the only method. Each project should be evaluated and delivered by the best method available. Design build and integrated building design should become more available and more accepted as standard methods of delivering architecture. I believe we need to explore alternative firm structures. The internet has brought us all much closer. We have the ability to communicate and collaborate with anyone in the world in real time. We must explore the realistic possibilities of virtual offices where leaders and staff are spread throughout the world with no central location. Firms should explore the benefits of flexible business hours or no defined business hours at all. Team members should be evaluated on merit, dependability, and consistency rather than the number of hours we spend in an office. Time dedicated to the firm and our families can truly be balanced. The effects this can have on the quality of our projects and the strengths of our families are limitless. I believe we need to advocate for greater influence on society. We are the one profession, of any profession, any career or job on earth, who can literally change the world each day with what we do. We can literally make the world a better place with each service we provide. The education and skills architects possess should be brought to bear on our global problems. Our influence on society should be advocated through architects' participation in government, nonprofit, and corporate leadership. I believe we need to embrace the psychology of success in architecture. The profession of architecture is filled with pessimism and negativity. So often, the default response regarding our chosen field is regret and failure. We communicate that sense of struggle on a daily basis with the words we choose and the body language we project. We must be proud of our profession and learn to be proud of our contributions to society. In order to be successful, we must act successful. We must be confident that we have made the right choice to become architects and encourage others to take the same path. We need to educate ourselves and learn the business skills that our architectural educations neglected to provide. Failure is not thrust upon us. Success is a choice. Choose to be positive and embrace the psychology of success. I believe every architect should be an entrepreneur architect. Entrepreneurs have been improving our society for thousands of years. Fueled with passion for their art and incentive of financial reward, they have brought us solutions to global crises, cures for deadly diseases, and improvements in human well-being. Every architecture school in the nation should be teaching business fundamentals and the art of entrepreneurism. Architects should understand profit-loss statements and balance sheets, as well as they understand form, space, and order. A better understanding of architecture fee structures and how money flows in and out of a business will strengthen large firms from the bottom up and allow small firms to succeed quicker when starting from scratch. We are experiencing massive change throughout the world. Sustainable solutions are needed for global problems. Architects are equipped to solve these problems. Entrepreneur architects will have the resources and incentive to proceed. It is time that all architects embrace entrepreneurism. It is time that we build better businesses, reach for success, and begin to influence the world like never before. There is a new generation of architects. Architects who want to change the world and be profitable doing it. We are Entrepreneur Architects. So there you have it, the Entrepreneur Architect Manifesto. I would love your thoughts. Do you agree with my 11 points of action? What would you add? What would you change? Head over to the blog post at entrearchitect.com/episode17 and leave me a comment. And remember, if you want a copy of my Entrepreneur Architect Manifesto, go to entrearchitect.com/newsletter, subscribe, and I'll send you a free PDF version of what you just heard. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found it worth your time to listen. If you liked it, please, please tell a friend. I want to make a difference in the profession, and the more people who hear what we're doing here, the stronger and the healthier and the more respected the profession will become. So please tell everyone you know. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
I've mentioned it to my family, but in terms of telling people like, oh yeah, we're doing this, I'm looking for projects, you got anything? Yeah. I'm not there yet because it scares the shit out of me.
Dreaming of launching your own architecture firm? Well, buckle up for a wild ride with Emerging, the podcast that shares what it's really like to start an architecture firm.
Where do we begin? We don't even know what type of business to formalize as. Is it an LLC? Is it an LLP? Like, how are taxes? I mean, the list is astronomical.
Season 1 featured founders Jeffrey, Lexi, and Chris, owners of Level Studio Architecture, are your fearless guides on this unfiltered journey from napkin sketches to a thriving studio.
One evening, stumbled into one last dive, we sat at the bar and pondered our postgraduate futures. Amidst the conversation, a napkin became the canvas for our aspirations, sketching plans and milestones, sealing our heartfelt commitment and shared dreams.
In drawing down dreams on a napkin collectively, that then, you know, in your head, you've rooted like, oh, I'm connected to these people, like long term.
The process of starting an architecture practice brims with excitement and challenges, demanding meticulous planning, flawless execution, and unyielding resilience.
I kind of hate the term because it's so overly used, but I think everybody knows imposter syndrome. And I think it's so real to this day. I don't know if it's with everybody, but with me, I'm always questioning like, us, can we do this? Are we ready to do this? Are we prepared? Can we do it?
Did we just decide a name?
We did it, guys.
Oh my
God. One that came out of nowhere.
Woo!
It came out of nowhere. I liked it. I saw it.
Ready to turn your aspirations into reality? Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Emerging and chart your own path to architectural success.
Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast, it's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success.